It's time for Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. A look at real estate and property management in the Great Land. Alaska Realty Today, brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
Hello, welcome to Alaska Realty Today. I'm Lisa Maynard.
I'm Kirk Maynard.
And I'm Jamie Maynard.
We have all three of us back in the studio for a first time in a while.
See, I told you I didn't kill her.
I know, thank God. We're so glad that you're back because we were starting to get worried.
Yeah.
Lisa's coming in. Lisa's coming in. Lisa's never coming back.
She lives.
Yes. I survived Kirk driving for 2 months, so I'm good to go. But we're going to continue the discussion Kirk and Jamie were having about their home purchasing process. And it sounds like you guys were to the point of when you're making an offer and the things you can run into.
Yes. So I think we'd
run into nothing. There's never issues.
No, it goes perfectly. So you can do it all by yourself. You need nobody. You just say, hey, I'd like to buy your house. Shake hands, walk away.
Bam.
So we talked about making an offer, talked about, I think, Kirk, you mentioned there's still super limited properties out there.
Yeah,
so
I did a search last night for a client that's fairly flexible. So I'm doing most of Fairbanks and rural, and in a pretty $100,000 range, and I brought up 11 houses.
Yes, I did the same last night. I think there seems to be quite a bit in North Pole, but we're still incredibly limited. So I feel like if there's just not a lot to look at. And then when I pulled up a lot of things, there still wasn't a lot to that even qualified for lending. So
yeah,
there's still
a lot of special financing properties out there.
Yes.
And this time of the year that happened. I mean, the inventory was already crap. And then you throw in October, November, or November, December, it always goes, it dwindles down. And then January, people start putting stuff back on the market again. So it's not the bestest time of the year to look at houses in the inventory. And obviously, there's stuff out there. There's good houses out there. We've been showing houses. There's fine properties, but there's a lot of special ones out there, too. And yep,
it's
you're right, Jamie.
It's a little more work than normal.
Yes. And again, we're going to just remind you, you need to be pre-approved. You need to be ready to go, because when it does hit the market, or if prices are dropping, I know I just got contacted by a client. Prices did drop. People are still trying to move properties specifically because, you know, they don't want them to sit over winter. They don't want it to sit when it gets to 30, 40 below. I just looked at it last night and was like, oh, I should send this to another client, when pending this morning. So,
and how long was it on the market?
It was on the market for about 45 days, which isn't surprising because there was so much in North Pole. But then the price dropped, I think maybe 3 days ago, had a $20,000 price drop.
That'll do it.
And immediately immediately went pending within less than 24 hours.
And that happened to the lady we're showing houses to. We're covering for somebody else. And they had put an offer on a house, and it was sent on the market for 5 months. And then it went into a competing offer situation. And I told them, even in buyer's market, I've seen stuff that's been out there 6-7 months on the market. I'll put an offer, and all of a sudden I'm competing. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
But it happens. And
so if you are lucky enough and find the property that is meant for you, what should they expect?
Yeah, do you want to go through the steps we went through on getting ready to?
Yeah, so we talked about making an offer, be prepared to, you know, make a full price offer. So we talked about not looking at things that are still over your budget, but being prepared to make a full price offer. And then, of course, I think we looked at, being prepared with earnest money, being prepared to look at your closing costs. We talked about, you know, being going through a cost sheet, having that from your lender so that you understand what goes where and maybe what you can negotiate a little bit, but be prepared to cover your, what did we talk about, your appraisal.
Just all the closing costs and prepaids.
And then
your down payment, your just have some money ready.
Yes. And then
we highly recommended that you put as much money down. I think on every show we've said, you know, try to buy cash, but obviously, you know, most of us can't buy cash. So save up as much as you can and put down as much as you can.
And right. Also think about setting aside an additional portion of money just for after the close of something pops up that you just have a little safety blanket
yes.
there
no,
set
no,
aside.
Nothing ever happens to houses.
No.
It's, especially in the Arctic during the winter.
Exactly. Exactly. And that just helps your mental process. And then we talked, I think, I don't know if it was this show. My gosh, we've done so many shows. Just about the move process, having a little bit of money for moving. And then, but we love a contingency plan, being ready for anything that's going to pop up, anything you want to have as a contingency plan. One thing that, people always need to be prepared for is having to be able to pay out of pocket for your engineer inspection.
Yes, that surprises some people.
Yes, and that's important. And there's no one on the show that's going to say you shouldn't do it.
Yeah. And in fact, I think I've said on the show before that I almost don't want to be part of the process if you're not going to get a home inspection. It's just a bad idea.
Yeah.
But there are these savvy buyers out there that are coming out of an industry where they, they builders or so forth. So there are rare occurrences where they can bring in their own people and not do the traditional home inspection, but it's not.
No, that's right. And we just sold one that was the case. He brought a contractor through and that, I guess that's a little bit different, but
yeah,
that was a different an expert needs to go through the house and
yep.
It's
I think the only time, and I haven't skipped an engineer inspection, but the sellers did one within the last like 3 weeks. And the buyers were okay with that. They liked exactly who did the engineer inspection. They liked what they saw on the engineer inspection. They thought it was incredibly thorough. They didn't want to do another one. We still offered to bring somebody back in there, but they liked exactly what they saw. They wanted to go off of that one.
And then we've had the occurrence with the same thing, a report's already done. But our people like the report, like the person, but they really wanted to walk through the house with the inspector. And there's a few inspectors in town that will come out to the property
yep.
and sort of speak to their report and not do a full-fledged new report.
Yeah, I think it was around $300, and it's so worth the money.
Yep, and I've done the same. So, I mean, there's different options of using that engineer or not an old engineer inspection, but an engineer inspection, or even getting one. We had one that was a year old. They took the property off of the market for a little while just because the weather was so bad. They didn't want to keep plowing. They wanted to put it in they winterized it, and then they wanted to just do a spring sale. So they put it back on in May. So the engineer inspection was about 6 months old. Mm. I did a purchase. We put an offer in on it as soon as it hit the market again because I had clients that wanted it. We did a brand new engineer inspection, but we used that other one as well. And so I normally don't supply that to the engineer until after the new inspection, which they like. They want to go in fresh eyes and then
unbiasedly.
Yep. And then look at it to just see if they got the same things and what they may have missed. And then they,
I like that.
Yeah. And most everything, they mostly get the same things, but things do break. So
yes,
6 months
do.
Of sitting, we found a few additional things, which were great that they were caught. And then we were able to have those things repaired.
So what happens next? So you found a house. It's time to get serious. You need to make an offer. What do you recommend? And I don't know if we talked about this in the last show. I don't remember. But like Jamie said, be prepared to offer full price. It's still easily a seller's market right now.
Yeah.
45 days on market is nothing. So
yeah.
And we have less than that inventory. So we have probably, I'm going to guess, 2 months worth of inventory. I haven't run stats lately, but it's still a seller's market. And
yes, I'm making him wait till the end of the year to do another fantastic stat show.
But it hasn't changed. One out of three properties are going over asking price, and one out of three are competing still. So that hasn't changed.
Yeah. I think one thing that I look at as well when we're going through is sometimes I take a couple pictures of things if it's something that's a little bit unusual. I just looked at this, but like if it's a pots and pan rack that's mounted, that might be something that's not usual into the house, but that, like, if my buyer is commenting on that, how they love that in the kitchen, or there's a feature that I'm going to need to add to the chattel list, I may take a picture of that just so I can give some specifics on the chattel list.
And what is the chattel list? Not everyone
yep.
hears that term very
often. Yes. So those
it
are. It is. It's uh-huh. a very yes. It's a very wild term. But those are the things that we're gonna make sure come with the house. So those are your typical refrigerator, washer, dryer, stove, microwave.
You put sheds on the travel because chattel list.
Oh my gosh! They grow legs and leave, which is super fun.
We brought an attorney in to either our office or the Board of Realtors office. Anyway, like 15 years ago, a small group of us brokers, and He pretty much reiterated what we already knew chattel was. It's just basically anything that can be removed without causing damage.
Yes.
And so, I mean, you're talking mirrors, you're talking, I've seen all sorts of stuff,
grow legs
and walk off. So if it's important to you, make sure y'all have that conversation and write it down. Lisa and I go through, we go through the disclosures, we go through
the MLS,
it has what appliances and all that fun stuff that's in there. We go through pictures. We take notes. We take pictures at the property.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't want to screw that up.
Yep. Yeah. And there's just sometimes things that are additional. As an example, we had people coming when we closed on our house. And so I knew that the gentleman who was selling the house was moving into a fully furnished house. And so I just said, I didn't want the mattress, but I just wanted the bed frame so we could go buy just a mattress. So I wasn't going to have my parents sleeping on the floor. So I just, I asked for the bed frame so that we could kind of quickly set up, like, because I had a quick turnaround for a setup of a house. And I just didn't have that much. I had a lot of furniture, but not that much furniture. So that was something that we added to a chattel list. But just things like that, if that's something that doesn't always happen, there are things that
possibly can.
Yes. There are things that we've had negotiated off a list before that just seem wild and crazy. But if there's something that really means a lot to you, then you need to make sure that you ask for that.
And one of the things we've run into in a few different properties lately is there's a lot of cabinetry/shelving that look like they're installed to the wall, but they're really not. So people really need to pay attention to those items. And if they're interested in them, they need to talk to their representative, because it might look like it belongs to the house, but really it doesn't. So that just needs to be understood by everyone, whether or not it's part of the house or not. But I'm seeing a lot of, like, really nice, it looks like built-in bookshelves, but they're not. And they're really nice looking, but it's something you have to watch for when you're doing your
like those built-ins, I always play with them to see if they are built in. In fact, yesterday when we were showing a house, I did it. I was trying to rock it to see if it was a... chattel, I mean, we bought our house in 2007. We asked for the plow truck to come along. It's, you know, a beater with a heater, but it had a plow and, you know, maybe worth $1,000, and we got it, so...
And we also asked for a mammoth tusk, but we lost out on that.
And just so you know, we'll be the ones submitting the accepted offer to your lender to start the process, not you guys, so don't send it over, because that does happen, the good faith buyer accidentally sends a chattel list, which the lender does not want to see, because the appraisal will be based on the value of the house, not in the personal property that's coming with it. So it's happened in the past. It doesn't happen that often. But when they do, they have you send an addendum that says, we are getting these properties, for these items, for $0.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have no worth. And it's just nationwide, they don't want to see the chattel list. They know that's part of the process, but don't share that with the lender.
Yeah. And then we're going to submit a bunch of forms, which we talked about, I think, in our last show, is that we want you to already look at all the disclosures that are attached. So if that's any of the electric bills, we want you to look at the AS-3470. That's the disclosures that come from the sellers. We want you to have already seen those, but we'll have you actually sign them.
Yeah, prior engineer's reports, well SEPTA, anything that we can get our hands on. We want you to not waste everybody's time and make an offer on a house that ends up, if we really were to research it, we're like, oh, your electric's $500 a month. That's not going to work for us. So
exactly.
We all want each other to, you know, go through all that before we put an offer in. But, but then, to Jamie's point, then we'll have you initial that you've read it and understood it.
Yes. And the big thing is that we just want to make sure you have a copy of that and that you actually go through it again, because sometimes you may have missed something, or you want to just refamiliarize yourself with those documents again, because sometimes I have clients that are like, did we look at the electric bill? And I'm like, you did, but it's okay. I'm resending it to you. Just refamiliarize yourself again. Or you may forget because you've seen so many houses, you're loving it, but you want to look at the fact that you have a pellet stove now, and you are like, oh, yeah, no, this is great. So we go through that, and then we submit that offer, and that should be the bundled deal, along with, of course, the engineer inspection.
And also, one thing we forgot to mention is the listing package. And we really encourage people to go through their listing package, because that can outline what the code and covenants of that property are. And if you have specific uses you want to do with your property, you want to read that very closely to make sure that you're allowed to have a daycare if you want to run a home daycare out of your property, or other things that can be limited.
Yeah, the title company gives us a listing packet when we list a property, and it's basically everything that's recorded with the state of Alaska. And we may or may not get surveys. We used to. Sometimes we get them.
I mean,
surveys are super important to me, and they're important to the lenders. Like Lisa said, they'll have
the covenants,
the subdivision covenants. They'll have in there the zoning. You can read through the zoning.
Yeah.
So to Lisa's point, it's good to read through that.
But especially if you're looking to do specific things with your property. That's
yes.
really important.
Or if you have stuff, like if you have dog sleds or if you have chickens that you're coming with or if you have specific animals, there are some places that that's going to be a no-go. So please look through that.
Don't make your chickens homeless by moving to a new property.
When we Kirk will take them. Kirk loves free chickens.
So
no
true.
Chickens for us.
When we come back, I just want to go to a little more detail on what the purchase agreement looks like if you guys are down with that.
That sounds good. We'll be back after this short break.
Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard returns right after this on 97.5 FM KFAR Radio.
Each week, people are saving big time. With the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer, there's simply no better way to promote your business. As our 50-50 Friday promotion airs every hour, every day for a full week on 8 of Fairbanks' most popular radio stations, there's simply no better way to get the word out about your business. So if you have a grand opening plan, maybe a big sale, special event or promotion, or just want to get the word out, this is the best way to let the public know about it. As your business receives more than $10,000 in promotional value over the course of 1 week, with your ads playing constantly, as well as being promoted live by our talented local radio announcers. And the best part, all that it costs you are some gift certificates. It's 50-50 Friday from the radio station, which is why we have local businesses sign up again and again and again. Call us today and tell us you want to promote your business with 50-50 Friday. It's the best way to let Fairbanks know. With the radio station's weekly 50-50 Friday offer, there's simply no better way to promote your business. Period.
Hi, this is Kirk and Lisa Maynard with Next Home Arctic Sun Realty.
We've been handling residential, commercial, and property management in Fairbanks for decades.
And nobody knows the market better.
Selling season is here, and the time to sell your home is now.
Here at Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, we offer exceptional visibility through high-end photography, along with Matterport 3D tours to showcase each home.
And each office is independently owned and operated.
So call us today, 456-4653.
Or online at nexthomearcticsun.com.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. And then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., and Explore Fairbanks at 1:30. All 3 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. Now, we return to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Next Home Arctic Sun Realty. Now your hosts, Kirk and Lisa Maynard.
And Jamie.
If you're just joining us, we're going to continue our discussion about the home purchase price process. And we were just talking about when you're making the offer and some of the things you'll be asked to sign and what they cover and other things you'll be requested to do.
Yeah, and Jamie talked about the bundle. So we bundle up the listing agreement, all the disclosures, any inspection reports, a copy of your earnest money check. I don't know if we've talked about earnest money yet, but you need to put 2% down. That's
typically 2%.
That's what's common in our market. You know, you might come from a market that $500 down, but you know, it varies from city to city, state to state. But our area, it's been 2% for
20 years.
So I'm sure longer than that. So be prepared with that. It's your money. It sits in our trust account. It holds you accountable to not just flaking out on the transaction. It's protected 9 different ways. That's spelled out in the purchase agreement. And you get it back at closing. It goes towards your down payment or closing costs. Or if somehow the seller's paying for some or all of it, and you might actually get some money back. But otherwise, it just goes towards your down payment.
Yeah.
But then the purchase agreement itself. So the first page, I think it talks about who's representing who, so we want to spell that out. The second page actually has the purchase agreement amount, what you're going to offer. And Jamie and I talked about how we come up with pricing and, you know, like Jamie said, be prepared to put a full price offer in. I think I talked about sometimes I do a market analysis if you want to know if it's underpriced, overpriced, or just right. I don't always have to do one, but sometimes I do one if I just want to, you know, double check my thoughts. Then you need to put in there the you know, who your lender is, how much your down payment is.
The type of financing.
Yeah, because type of financing all plays into it, especially if it's you're in a competing offer situation. Closing costs, who's paying what? We have what's normal in our market. Usually, loosely, the buyers pay the lender side stuff and the seller pays everything else, if that makes sense.
And what's one special thing that we're different than everyone else up here? And I'm going to forget what it is.
The appraisal. So I think we mentioned on the week or two ago that the appraisal in our market, the buyer prepays it and the seller reimburses them at closing. Everywhere else on the
earth,
on the planet, United States, the buyer pays for it because it's a lender cost. So just be prepared that you might have to pay for that up front, $1,000 up front. And then, or maybe it's even more than that now. And then you get it back at closing.
The last one I saw when I was reviewing files, I saw one at $1,200.
Yeah, I did.
That's what I'm starting to see more typically.
We talk about on page three, I think it is. You talk about the recording date. So when you want to close and record, the day you close is not the day you record. So if you close on a Friday, it's the next business day, which would be Monday. So you're not moving in over the weekend. So you need to look at a calendar with your professional. Yes. And make sure you're doing an appropriate date. 45 days is still pretty darn normal. Some lenders have been going a little bit faster, maybe 35 days, and some take a couple months. So just be prepared for that. I think Lisa writes in all of our offers that there's an automatic 10-day extension if needed. Stuff comes up, financing, you need septic, or who knows.
And on a note, it's important to remember, if you're transitioning from one property to the other, you want to keep a little bit of safety space, because the stars might not perfectly align, so you don't want to have this awkward, you have to be out of one place, can't get in the next place, and now you have all your belongings and your family in limbo for a period of time. So you want to make sure you talk with your professional about how to time it correctly, so there isn't the extra cost, and especially on top of just having to move twice, which would be horrible.
There's a lot of boilerplate stuff in there. It talks about your inspection. Of course, you get it. Even if you buy it as is, you still get to look at the property and bring a professional through. And if it's falling apart, then you can obviously move on and get your money back. But
how long did they have that for that time period to inspect the property?
15 days. And if we ever get to a point again where it's taking 2 weeks to get a home inspector, then you'd want to push that out with your realtor. And
which can happen over the holiday season. So really get with your professional, because sometimes people have lives outside of Fairbanks, and they might not be doing home inspections. So you really want to watch that during times when people are traveling.
Yeah, and our inspectors and our appraisers are
human,
up there in age too. And a lot of them take time off in the wintertime. They'll take a month off and go to Mexico or somewhere not Siberia. So to Lisa's point, it can put a crunch on the time frame to get an appraisal done or to get the inspection done. So you have 15 days to get that done. It says in our purchase agreement that, what happens then, how much time you have once you start negotiating repairs. It spells all that in there. It talks about the water and septic test. That could be done anytime prior to closing. It talks about, what else am I missing, Lisa? It talks about the disposition of the earnest money, a whole page just dedicated to your earnest money. It's super well protected. It'd be pretty rare that you'd lose your earnest money. You'd have to pretty much flake out at the end and not buy the house and put a damage to the seller you'd probably end up losing it. Then we have a spot for any additional terms and conditions. So if there's anything you want to else write in there, Lisa, I don't know if you have any examples of stuff you write in there, but there's...
We usually write some verbiage about the septic, and that, like, if they're making an offer on a four-bedroom house, that we want it to fulfill the requirements of fulfill the requirements of a four-bedroom house is some of the verbiage we usually do. The one about the automatic extension is pretty common.
Mm-hmm.
We sometimes, when we know we're going to have an inspection period, it's going to be cutting it close, we'll put in the automatic extension for the inspection period.
But past years, we've been trying to keep it pretty clean because, like we said earlier, one out of three we end up competing. So and it's still a seller's market, so we don't want to go too crazy on it. But I've had additional terms and conditions where I fill up that page and I have to actually go to an addendum because I have so many of them. So it just depends. Yeah. In a buyer's market, we might be asking for the moon. So. But right now, again, seller's market. So.
And also, this is where we would adjust if there's any contingencies on the buyer's side that they might be dealing with if they're selling another property or so forth. So that would be spelled out there.
So what I typically do is then I put this all into an email. So I've got your pre-approval letter. I've got your earnest money check. Then I've got your purchase agreement. And then I've got you all the documents that says you've signed it, understood it, that you're not going to flake out after reading it 10 days later. So that all needs to go on there. And then I usually write, a little bit about the buyer, not a love letter, but just, this, they're solid. This is why they're solid, blah, 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 blah. And then submit it and go from there.
And sometimes we'll have some unique instances where our buyer has some, if they're buying a unique property, but that property fits them well. And we will spell out what makes this a fit for them because of their history and so forth. And that they are a fit for that property, especially if we're possibly going against other offers.
Yeah, and when we're getting to negotiations, just remember that usually most times buyers want to buy and sellers want to sell. So we can have a meeting in the minds, but don't get too rigid and too stuck on, it's either this my way or the highway, especially in a seller's market. Same with the seller. Make sure if your seller really wants to sell, then, you know, hopefully their representative was working with them and coaching them through on, hey, let's find a happy medium of the mind, something that both parties can live with.
And I know we're backtracking a couple of pages back, but one thing we didn't talk about is fuel and fuel conveying or not. And that's something, especially in our market, that can be an area that you can have compromise, or it can be part of making your offer stronger. So that's
especially now, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I mean, it can be thousands of dollars of fuel in the tank if they filled up at the beginning of the season,
yes,
and they have a large tank. And so that's something you have to
keep
in mind.
Or if they just filled up.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you know, and specifically as we get further along in the winter months and these negotiations start happening. So that is something that, you know, when we just said a little while ago in the show, contingency to just be thinking about, that could be the negotiate or the final factor.
One of our transactions we just finished up was what was going to happen with the fuel.
They actually competed. They lost because just to the fuel. Everything else matched up. The other competing offer exactly the same except for fuel. So they lost it because of fuel. Those buyers ended up bailing, and we came back in, and it
worked out perfectly.
Yeah, it worked
clients.
Out. I mean, there was you know, a roof that was caving in, and we had to do some analysis of what it would cost to fix it.
It was a unique property, but our client was very...
it was almost a $500,000 property, but just had...
He's very knowledgeable about roofs and so forth, so it didn't scare him, and so he was the right fit for that property.
Right. Yep. And talking about the additional things that you might add during this time, just making sure that, you know, even if fuel doesn't convey and you're going to pay for it, making sure there's actually fuel. So, you know, writing into the offer that at least there's 100 gallons or there's some fuel in the tank, so we don't get a house January 1
and
only to find out.
Yeah. And on the opposite side, if you're under contract and so forth, our parties should discuss maybe before someone puts 1,000 gallons of fuel in the middle of a transaction, because that also can be the other flip side of the fuel situation.
Yeah. Lisa and I sold a fourplex and they went out there and it ran out of fuel that night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
running out of fuel at 40 below is not always. You can just throw some couple gallons down and, you know, you're on your way. Sometimes those lines freeze up pretty quick and there's a process. And so that one sucked.
And how big the tank is.
Finding somebody. I mean, when we talk about, you know, I mean, even going back to your engineer comment, when all of a sudden there's an engineer out and then you're putting more pressure on the few engineers that are left to do engineer inspections, and they're now bogged down for 30 days that somebody's going to be gone on vacation, you're all of a sudden, you know, looking at, they slow down when they're doing their reports or their inspections, because we've put more and more pressure on people.
And then I guess I'll also say on fuels, and maybe you guys already said it, but if there's a couple $1,000 or $3,000, just make sure you're prepared for it. So early on in my career, I remember having a buyer say, "What? I have to pay $4,000 in fuel?" I'm like, "Yeah, I thought we talked about that." Yeah,
Well, and preparing them for the price that was paid, not because I said repeatedly and sent an email that it's the price that they paid, because my client said, "Oh my gosh, fuel dropped and went down."
Doesn't matter.
I said, "That's not how this works."
In the last 2 weeks, we closed two transactions, and one was $4 a gallon, one was $5 a gallon.
It's really interesting.
So it's really preparing yourself for the fluctuation of that cost. So what are we doing? What are we thinking? One more show on how to buy a house?
We thought we were going to wrap it up, but I think we're going to have a fifth edition of how to buy a house in Fairbanks, Alaska.
I mean, there's a whole process.
We just
hopefully achieved contract. I guess the only thing I'll say is make sure you connect with a good agent.
Yeah.
You just want somebody who's going to tell you when to hold firm and when to not hold firm and let loose and compromise. So just make sure you connect with somebody who's got some, you know, some good experience or a good head on their shoulders and can walk you through that.
And if they wanted to connect with Jamie, how would they do that?
I have, at this point, I don't even know. No, I'm kidding.
Jamie Maynard?
Yes, Jamie Maynard at 907-378-2400, or find us at our office at the address is 600...
3rd Street.
3rd Street. So I always say look for Chowder House, and then we are the almost black building now.
Black roof, gray bottom.
It's so beautiful. So check us out. Orange sign, you can find us on the left-hand side.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and stay tuned for the buzz.
You have been listening to Alaska Realty Today on KFAR Radio and streaming live at kfarradio.com. To hear this program or past episodes, simply log on to kfar.com and click the Archives tab to find Alaska Realty Today with Kirk and Lisa Maynard from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty, right here in Fairbanks. This has been a presentation of KFAR Radio, produced by Glenn Anderson, a Last Frontier Mediactive production.